Pro Savings Days are on at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, My Lowe's Pro Rewards members get an additional 5% off when you buy 5 or more select GE, Whirlpool, and Electrolux kitchen or laundry major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 123. Discount valid to My Lowe's Pro Rewards members only. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for details. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Have you ever paused to consider what truly happens when the smallest members of a bustling community decide their needs just aren't being met? Mm. We're not talking about, you know, human committees or town hall meetings here.
Right. Something much smaller scale.
Exactly. Yeah. We're delving into a world far smaller, yet, well, equally complex, it turns out. Today, we're exploring a really remarkable incident from Cloverfield Park.
Ah, yes.
A delightful narrative aptly titled The Ant Parade Protest.
It's a great one.
Our mission really is to excavate the deeper lessons from this charming tale, to see what these tiny strategists can reveal about like effective communication, collective resilience, and the surprising power of making your voice heard no matter how small you are.
It's such a compelling case study, wouldn't you say?
Totally.
On the surface, it's a whimsical story, but when you peel back the layers, wow.
Yeah.
It offers these really profound insights into problem solving, community building, and the very essence of advocacy. Mm-hmm. We're going to unpack how this seemingly insignificant group managed to not just articulate their needs, but actually inspire lasting change.
Okay, so let's set the scene. Cloverfield Park. Picture it. A vibrant, lively meadow.
Yep, usual park scene.
And for generations, the ant colonies had this well-established routine, marching in meticulous lines.
They're very orderly.
Diligently collecting crumbs, seeds, all that good stuff left behind by picnickers. Life for them was, you know, predictable, industrious.
And sweet. Critically sweet.
Right. Until, one pivotal summer afternoon, that rhythm was just broken.
Abruptly broken, yeah. Mm-hmm. The human picnickers, for reasons totally unclear to the ants, obviously.
Oh, I know.
Exactly. They suddenly shifted their culinary habits. The usual cascade of sweet crumbs just vanished.
Gone.
Mm-hmm. Instead, the ants found only, like, discarded plain lettuce, carrot sticks.
Imagine being an ant. That's not the good stuff.
Not at all. Imagine the confusion, the growing frustration within the colony. Mm-hmm. What happens when your main accustomed food source, the very foundation of your daily life, is replaced with something completely unpalatable?
Yeah, it's not just annoying.
No, it wasn't just an inconvenience. It escalated into a full-blown crisis for the entire ant community.
Hmm.
It threatened their very sustenance.
And here's where it gets really interesting, I think.
Mm-hmm.
These ants didn't just passively accept it. They didn't just grumble in their tunnels.
No subterranean complaints department.
Huh.
No.
They gathered, like actually gathered. Picture descending into their underground meeting halls.
Okay.
Antenna twitching with this collective palpable frustration. This wasn't just a few disgruntled individuals anymore.
No, the problem became shared. It morphed rapidly into this shared grievance.
Right.
And this escalation, you know, from individual frustration to a collective demand for change. It's a classic illustration of what social scientists call collective action theory. It shows how a shared sense of injustice, especially when amplified by clear leadership, can quickly coalesce into a unified movement, even among populations that are usually, you know, dispersed.
Huh, interesting.
It's a powerful phenomenon. And this is precisely where a leader, Captain Antonia, steps forward.
Captain Antonia, I love it.
A true pioneer. Imagine her commanding attention, waving a breadcrumb.
Not just food.
No, not just food, but like a powerful banner. Her declaration was clear, resonant. We deserve equal crumb rights.
Equal crumb rights. It's brilliant.
It wasn't just about hunger. It was about a fundamental sense of fairness. Justice, really, for the whole ant community.
That idea of fundamental fairness, it's so powerful, isn't it?
It really is.
But how did Captain Antonia get that across? Beyond just, you know, more crumbs. Was there something about their method that made the human see it as like a justice thing?
Good question.
Because let's be honest, it's one thing to feel injustice. It's another to communicate it effectively across such a huge species divide.
Precisely. And that's where the genius of their strategy really emerged.
Okay.
The very next morning, the ants of Cloverfield launched something truly unprecedented. The first ever ant parade protest.
A parade. Okay.
But this wasn't a riot, not chaos. It was meticulously organized, peaceful demonstration.
Right. They weren't biting ankles or anything.
No, exactly. Mm. What's crucial here is they understood, probably instinctively, that direct confrontation wasn't an option. Their power lay in unity, visibility, and a clear creative message.
So how do you even begin to get your message across when you're, you know, a fraction of an inch tall?
Right. You gotta get creative.
And they did. They mastered what we might call visual rhetoric, maybe.
Yeah.
Symbolic communication.
That's a good way to put it. They carry tiny leaf signs.
Leaf signs.
Making their demands not just heard, but seen, visible, for any human or, you know, curious squirrel to notice.
Okay, what did the sign say?
Think about the messaging. More cookies, less carrots.
Specific. Memorable. Direct. I love it.
Undeniably memorable. And then that powerful unifying cry translated onto another leaf. One ant, one crumb.
Wow, one ant, one crumb. That's actually quite profound.
It is. It's a masterclass in concise, effective, and visually impactful communication. They translated their grievance into this simple, universal desire for fairness.
Okay, signs are one thing, but they did more, right?
Oh, yeah. To ensure they truly captured attention, to cut through the general noise of a busy park, they formed a marching band.
No way. An ant marching band.
Yes. Envision pebble drums setting this rhythmic, undeniable beat.
Okay.
And delicate blade of grass trumpets sounding their call. Not aggressively, mind you.
Right. Not like a battle charge.
No, more like an insistent, impossible-to-ignore melody. This wasn't just ingenuity. It was a deliberate strategy. Create an auditory and visual spectacle.
Multisensory engagement. Very clever.
Incredibly effective in drawing attention and embedding a message into memory.
It's compelling how such a small, non-aggressive gesture could grab attention like that. But was there a risk? Could it have backfired? Like, could they have just been seen as a nuisance? A weird ant thing? Because that line can be thin sometimes, right? Peaceful protest versus annoyance.
That's a totally valid concern. And it does highlight the delicate balance.
Yeah.
But I think the ant's approach, because it was non-confrontational and even kind of endearing in its creativity.
A marching band is kind of cute.
Right. It likely avoided that pitfall. Instead, this unique spectacle naturally attracted a curious audience.
Okay.
It wasn't just other animals peeking out. It was the park's children.
Ah, the kids.
They'd created an event that was distinct, intriguing, and above all, peaceful. It tapped into that fundamental human response to novelty and unified action, made it hard to just dismiss.
So they got noticed. Step one, check.
Check.
But it's one thing to get noticed, another to actually change minds, right? To shift perception.
Exactly. And this is where the dynamic really pivoted.
Yeah.
At first, the picnickers were understandably confused.
What is happening?
Right. A parade of ants. What could it possibly mean? They observed, maybe with some bemusement at first.
Sure.
But as they kept watching, noticing the tiny leaf signs, seeing the ants' determined, unified march, a moment of understanding started to dawn.
The message got through.
Despite the miniature scale, it became undeniably clear.
And then?
And here's where the magic truly unfolds, largely due to an unexpected but, well, powerful catalyst.
Let me guess. The kids?
The children. Exactly. Those wonderful, perceptive children. Often more attuned to simple, heartfelt pleas than adults, maybe.
Often, yeah.
They started to giggle. Mm. And their unvarnished empathy led to this pivotal moment.
Yeah.
They started dropping cookie crumbs.
They got it.
Muffin sprinkles, cracker bits, right along the ants' parade path.
Directly to them.
It was immediate, joyful, completely unprompted. Not some calculated negotiation. Just spontaneous understanding and generosity.
Wow. So the protest, just like that.
Transformed. Instantly.
Yeah.
Into this joyous celebration.
That's amazing.
The ants cheered, apparently danced in formation. Their determined march became this vibrant festival of food.
A festival of food.
It wasn't just about getting crumbs again, though that was great, obviously.
Sure.
It was about the profound joy of being understood, of having their needs acknowledged and met by their, you know, giant neighbors.
It really speaks volumes about empathy bridging these huge gaps, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And to cap off this incredible victory, to solidify it into something lasting, Captain Antonia, again.
Our hero.
Took center stage, climbed onto a magnificent sugar cube podium.
Of course she did. Perfect.
Her announcement wasn't just a victory speech. It was a declaration that created a lasting legacy. She said, Let this be the start of a new tradition. Share the sweets and we'll share the smiles.
Share the sweets and we'll share the smiles. I like that.
It wasn't just about winning a battle. It was about establishing this new social contract almost.
And did it stick? What was the enduring impact?
It did. From that day forward, families in Cloverfield made sure to leave behind little treats for their tiny neighbors.
Oh, it's lovely.
And the Ant Parade itself, once an act of protest, became this cherished highlight of summer.
So it wasn't just a one-off thing?
No, not a fleeting success. It evolved into a beloved, enduring community practice. A beautiful example of how small-scale advocacy can lead to significant long-term cultural shifts.
Okay, so we've witnessed this incredible transformation in Cloverfield Park. Amazing story.
Mm-hmm.
What lessons, beyond the obvious, can we really glean from Captain Antonia's ant army for our own challenges?
Good question. Where do we start?
Well, what stands out immediately for me is how teamwork and peaceful protest can effectively solve problems. But the how is so key, isn't it?
Absolutely.
The ants didn't get aggressive. They used unity, a crystal clear message, and just a whole lot of creativity to get their point across. They bypassed conflict entirely.
That's a critical distinction. It's not just that they work together, but how they coordinated. Their protest illustrates principles, kind of like what game theory might call a signaling game.
Okay, unpack that a bit.
They sent a clear, undeniable signal of their need and their collective strength. But crucially, they did it in a way that invited cooperation, not conflict.
Oh, right. The peaceful parade, the band.
Right.
It wasn't threatening.
Exactly. It allowed for what we call a positive sum outcome. Both parties, ants and humans, benefited from this new understanding, this new interaction. Their unified, nonviolent presence created a situation where the human's best response was actually empathy and sharing, rather than, you know, suppression or just ignoring them.
That's a fascinating way to frame it. A strategic choice leading to a better outcome for everyone involved.
Mm-hmm.
And this story also shows so beautifully that sharing isn't just about, you know, dividing up resources.
No, it's deeper.
It's about acknowledging others, seeing their needs, and through that, building a stronger sense of community. When the humans shared their treats, they weren't just giving food.
Mm.
They strengthened their bond with their tiny neighbors. They created a more harmonious environment for everyone in Cloverfield Park.
And for, you know, someone who thinks about this stuff, it isn't just simple generosity. It's a testament to concepts like reciprocal altruism.
Yeah.
And how even really different groups can build social capital through mutually beneficial interactions. The human's initial indifference evolved into an investment in the park's overall harmony.
So by helping the ants, they actually helped themselves too.
In a way, yes.
Hmm?
By addressing the ants' needs, they enhanced their own experience of the park, created a more positive, engaging environment. It shows that acknowledging the other isn't just like the moral thing to do. It's often strategically smart for the whole ecosystem of a community.
It's quite a sophisticated outcome from such a simple, charming premise.
It really is.
Perhaps the most profound lesson, for me anyway, is that even the smallest voices deserve to be heard.
Mm, absolutely.
The ants, despite their tiny size, found a way to make their needs known and, crucially, to be understood. Which really raises an important question for all of us, doesn't it?
What's that?
Whose small voices might we be overlooking in our own lives, in our communities? Maybe just because they don't communicate in the ways we expect or don't hold traditional power.
Indeed. It forces us to question our assumptions about where agency and influence truly lie. The ant's success wasn't about brute force, right? Or economic leverage.
Definitely not.
It was about ingenious communication and persistent, peaceful advocacy. It really underscores the idea that a lack of traditional power can sometimes be overcome by creativity, by unity, and an unwavering commitment to a clear message.
We see that in human social movements, too.
Absolutely. It's particularly relevant globally, where marginalized groups often leverage these very tactics, creativity, unity, narrative, to gain recognition and effect change. Their story highlights that a powerful narrative, delivered with conviction, can often transcend physical or power disparities.
So connecting it to the bigger picture, it just underscores this powerful truth. Standing up for what's fair,
mm-hmm.
peacefully and together, it really can bring about positive change and joy. And as we saw here, even a parade of delicious crumbs.
Huh. Yes. It's a testament to the enduring power of advocacy, no matter how humble its origins, and how it can literally transform a community's culture for the better.
Some micro example, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
A micro example of a broader principle in, say, organizational behavior or community development.
Mm-hmm.
The power of bottom-up initiatives.
Right. Change doesn't always come from the top.
Exactly. Often, we expect change to flow down from leadership. But the ants show that significant, lasting shifts can originate from the seemingly least powerful members, provided they're organized, strategic, and articulate their needs effectively. It challenges us to look beyond conventional hierarchies when we're seeking solutions.
Okay, so wrapping up then, from the bustling meadow of Cloverfield Park, we've learned that a seemingly simple protest fueled by unwavering teamwork, ingenious communication, and that crystal clear message can transform frustration into a lasting tradition. Sharing, understanding. It's such a powerful reminder that scale really doesn't dictate impact.
Strategic action does.
Strategic action does.
So think about this for a moment, you listening. Whether you're navigating a complex project at work, maybe mediating a family discussion, or just trying to improve some small aspect of your daily life.
Yeah.
The core principles these tiny ants demonstrated are incredibly relevant, aren't they?
They really are.
What problems could you solve, or what community could you strengthen by embracing teamwork, creative communication, and just the courage to voice your needs peacefully, persistently? The lessons apply far beyond the picnic blanket.
Absolutely. And as you go about your week, here's maybe a provocative thought for you to chew on.
Okay.
What sweet crumbs might you be missing in your own life or your community? And what creative parade could you start? Maybe not literally.
Probably not literally.
But what creative action could you take to not only get those needs met, but to inspire greater sharing, understanding, and maybe even a brand new joyful tradition around you?
It's a great question. Sometimes the smallest voice or the most creative approach can spark the biggest change.
It really can.